Welcome to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Rob. Joining with me is my friend, Lou.
Chicken and rice, baby.
Chicken and rice. Is that what you're having for dinner today? Or what you had for dinner?
Yeah, that's what I'm currently having for dinner.
Nice. Fried rice or just white rice? You know, jasmine?
Just white.
All right.
Hey. I can get deep into it, but this is a completely different topic.
All right. Well, we do have a special guest today. Mike drank one of Moog's elixirs, so he is going to see some help from a doctor. But we got a friend of the pod. You can find her over. She's one of the narrators for Eclipse Fiction. Link's in the description. It's just kind of short stories that Michael and I have written, and she does some of the narrating there. She's a DM for our very chaotic D&D games, and she's a Miss Bumbleflower main for Magic the Gathering. This is our friend Rachel, who's joining us on the pod this week.
Excited to be here.
What is your favorite type of rice? Do you prefer it steamed, fried?
Well, I really prefer fried rice, but if I'm cooking it at home and I don't want to put in that effort, I usually make only basmati rice. It's the only kind of rice I really like. Nice. And then it's just you know, boiled in. Let's go.
I have no idea what basmati rice is.
It's like a long grain rice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's look it up. All right. Lou, you have an icebreaker for us this week.
I do. I think it's book related, which is fair. What's the first book you fell in love with? First thing that comes to mind as a child. Or if you didn't start reading until you're an adult.
What do you got for us, Lou?
For me, first thing to come to mind is this really old school book series called The Hardy Boys. I don't know why. It just worked for me. I'll try to read one again, and I thought it was super outdated and a little weird, but at the time, I was a Hardy Boys fan. I had the 12-book book set, and I was all about those shenanigans, trying to figure out who did it.
It's fair. I remember, for me, it's not the Hardy Boys, but my mom always read to me The Boxcar Children, which are, I think, a similar vein. So I really liked those as a kid. So I guess I'll choose The Boxcar Children.
There you go.
What do you got, Rachel?
I think for me, it was the Island of the Blue Dolphins. That one was one I actually had to read, I think, for school. And then I just kind of fell in love with it. I don't know if it was just the adventure. She was surviving on her own, trying to figure things out. I know it was a really compelling story. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, because I feel like, for the most part, required or mandated reading for school does not turn out that way. Like, I know for me in high school, I would spark notes the mess out of all my reading assignments. Did you do the same thing? I did not care. I didn't read Of Mice and Men. I know the ending, though. But yeah, I was so excited to read Lord of the Flies because everyone was like, oh, it's so crazy. It's not that crazy. So I was very disappointed in it. But we'll move on from the PTSD we're giving all the people that grew up in the 90s and 2000s, because I think Lord of the Flies is banned now. We're going to move on to a book that would also be banned in schools because of its content. I guess, spoiler warning, I mean, we're going to keep it like PG-13, but this is, we're talking about the book Kings of the Wild. We'll start off with a spoiler-free overview, but it can be crude and crass at times, so there will kind of be probably some, we're going to talk about it, so yeah, PG-13 warning. Overall, what did you guys rate this book?
For me, I rated it a 7.5.
Okay.
Do you want me more detail or start with
that? Yeah, that works. What do you think? What worked for you just in broad strokes?
So, I mean, for sure, the characters and the world for me was the top two for me. I think the world was just accessible. I think playing D&D for a little bit really, it was easy to know what kind of world this was.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more about the characters, but I pretty much liked each and every one of them in different reasons. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you, Rachel?
I also gave it a 7. I feel like kind of what Lou said, the characters were great. And the world was well set up. It was easy to kind of dive into and get to know and enjoy.
Okay, so I don't feel terrible now because I'm like, I felt like I was going to have the lowest score, and I do, but I gave it a 6.5 out of 10. Mm-hmm. I think for the most part, this book wasn't really written for my taste, which I found out, But I think for a lot of people, it could be a 7.5 or an 8. And then if it hits the right beats, this could be like an 8.5 or 9 for the right people. So for the most part, this book is about a group of old adventurers getting back together. They say multiple times they're getting the band back together. That is very much, it's the way it was described to me was D&D and classic rock references for the most part. And I guess just rock because they moved into the 90s, which I think might be considered classic rock now, but I don't consider it that. That's a different debate for another thing, but yeah, you mix those together and that's what you get. And I think if you like one or the other, it's probably gonna be about, you know, a 7, like we all put it at. And then if you like both of them and like the hits and the humor hits, then yeah, I think you're gonna really like this book. Anything else you want to say pre-spoilers?
Well, after quite a bit, I don't know why. And I really enjoyed the narrator. I know the narrator was mixed for some people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair warning, the narrator does have a southern drawl, which fits with the book, but it did take a little bit of getting used to. I was one of those people that got a little getting used to, but I ended up enjoying him later on, and we'll talk about that further in the podcast. But it fit the setting. Like, it wasn't just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get right on into the spoiler section. So if you guys haven't read the book or are reading the book, pause or just mute the video and come back to it. You know, hey, we love viewer retention, but this is spoiler section now. We'll start with characters. Lou, you said the characters are some of your favorite parts of the book. What would you rate the characters out of 10?
I got 9 out of 10 for the characters. Mm-hmm. Is a math question. If I do like 9 out of 10 for characters and 7 out of 10 for plot, am I technically supposed to make sure that they all equal out to the overall, like,
no,
math-wise?
No, I mean, okay. You could average it, but I guess we should talk about our ratings, because this is the first time having both of you on for the books. I put 6 as, like, an average. 6 out of 10 is an average. How do you guys rate it? Mm-hmm. Do you just do 5, or just kind of vibe in it?
I did 1 out of 10.
I did 1 out of 10, and I did vibes.
Yeah,
so, me too.
Rachel, what did you rate the characters for Kings of the Wild?
I rated them an 8.
I also rated them 8. I think it's definitely the strongest book. Also, I should say, sorry, I totally disrespected the author. This is written by a debut author by Nicholas Eames, I think I'm saying that right, back in 2017, and it was narrated by Jeff Harding. I forgot to say at the top. My bad. But who is your favorite character?
I have a hard time either between Moog and Lady Jane.
Both really? Lady two. Jane?
I love Lady Jane. Yeah, Lady Jane, I think when it comes to, like, I feel like female characters, especially in the setting, are always written very male perspective vibes. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the idea of somebody being hot. But she was just, like, ahead of the game. And she was duping them, like, left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was written really well. And then Moog, I mean, it's Moog. Right, like, it's just so good. So, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Rachel? Do you have a favorite?
I think I was kind of stuck between Clay and Gregor. Clay, I don't know. I normally am not, like, a main character fan most of the time. Usually I'm a side character, kind of. I don't know. Their vibes are usually my fave. But Clay, I don't know. I liked that he was just so, like, earnest and so willing to give even when it didn't make sense for him to give, you know. And then Gregor, once you read the book, I mean, he's just sincerely one of the most, I don't know, positive and unexpected people. That threw Gregor. Me for a loop when we got to that part in the book. I was like, why is he describing things that way? Then I was like, oh, he cares that much for his brother. Oh man, that was so good.
Yeah. Gregor is definitely a standout. I think he's probably my favorite. What do you think of him, Lou?
I low-key forgot about Gregor. until How could you? I know. And then...
He's too pure for this world.
Yeah. Gregor was such a good character. Yeah. He is too good. I could do spoilers, right?
Yeah, this is spoiler.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. His brother... So, he was connected. Right? Okay. And for a while, I did not understand what was going on in those characters. I don't know if I was just doing something, I was busy during that time, but it took me a while that they were conjoined twins, right? Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. And then, yeah, and then his brother died. And I was like, why? What's going on? And I get it now. I get it. Yeah, good character.
Yeah, I don't think they're twins. It was some type of monster, I think, that has, you know,
Yeah.
two heads. I
They
don't
were
remember
an
exactly what they were.
Etin.
Oh yeah, they were. Yeah, an Etin. Good pull. Yeah. I
Yeah,
think.
two heads, one body.
Yeah, and then like Dane, when he was like seeing Gregor in the afterlife, I thought was that was there's a few scenes that like tugged on my heartstrings, which is not easy to do, you know, being a soulless ginger that I am. But I really enjoyed that, and I think I'm it's everyone says it, but Moog is probably my favorite of the bunch.
Moog is so good.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I really thought Cooper was kind of boring, so I'm glad you
Really?
enjoyed him. Yeah, I just like I felt like all the other characters of the band seemed like more interesting, so I thought it was an interesting choice as a main character. But I guess it's kind of a blank slate, and it's easy to, you know, relate with him because he's not some eccentric person or something. So,
And he was very steady, and he kind of kept everything moving.
yeah, I didn't get that he was like supposed to be the bass player in the band. Did you guys pick that up?
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense.
Oh, I didn't pick that up. I didn't pick that up.
Yeah. Shout out to
Oh, because oh my gosh, the assassin is the drummer because he has two daggers.
Yep. Gabe's
Blew
the
my
front
mind.
man.
Gabe's the front man.
So he's playing electric.
Yeah, I don't know what Moog would be.
Moog might be the keyboardist.
I could see that. I
Yeah.
didn't know. I guess if it's like 80s, yeah,
Got the
then
keys. Got the
Ganelon's
synth.
definitely the lead guitar, shredding it and everything.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even consider that being a thing.
Yeah, and it's not for the longest time I thought Cooper is named after Alice Cooper, but it's named after Clay something. I think is an actual bassist. So that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
Like if you there's so many references to classic rock or rock. I just need to say rock in this book that it's crazy. They have straight up like Stairway to Heaven references and you know things like that.
Yeah, I only picked up on a couple. I felt like there were times when I was like, is that supposed to be? I don't know. I don't have enough rock knowledge.
Lou, I know you listen to a good amount of rock. Did you get a lot of the references?
I'm embarrassed to say I didn't even get any of the
Okay.
references. I don't know how I did it. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go on back on Libby and just like listen to the book again.
Yeah, here it is. We're going. But yeah, other than that, yeah. Is there any characters you didn't like?
Oh, gosh, what was his name? He was the guy that they threw off the airship.
Oh yeah, the manager. What's his
He
name?
was just
Yeah.
gross.
Not like because he was yeah, because but he was written well. Are we talking
Oh,
about
he
like
was written
people?
so well. He just
Yeah,
was,
he
yeah. ugh. I just did not like him. And that was, I mean, intended.
Yeah, and I will say I did like I remember talking to Rachel for like half the book. I'm like, man, I don't really like any of these characters, but I really liked every scene with Last Leaf for a while, just because like he had a presence to him, and you know usually there was more.
The voice acting for him too.
Yeah, the voice acting
Yeah.
was fantastic, and then there's more like overarching plot. Like there's a lot of episodic chapters I feel like in this book, which is also not really to my preference, but like him, you got like the overarching, like this is what they're going for with saving Bloody Rose and everything. Because in what was the name? Do you guys remember the city name?
Starts with a C.
It does.
Kaladar?
Kaladar, yeah. I wanted to kept thinking of a Wheel of Time city, but I'm like, nope, that's Wheel
Oh,
of
shoot.
Time. So, yeah. Was any characters like that you just thought were written well to hate, or you're just like, ah, I don't really vibe with them?
I think Rose was a little flat for me. I mean, it's not much that she could have done. I think I would have enjoyed maybe a chapter or two of her just so that I felt like I like the reason why I wanted Clay to save Rose is because because of his daughter, not necessarily because of Gabe's daughter, if that makes any sense. I would have liked to known her a little bit more. And then the second book is
I
about
was gonna
her,
say, yeah,
so
good news. Like she got her own
yeah,
book.
she got her
and
own
I am
book.
listening through that one right now.
How is it so far?
Not as good as the first so far, but I'm only I want to say like 15 chapters in, and I know that there's an undertone of something happening that they haven't revealed yet, so I'm waiting to see what that is, and then we're gonna jump in. Rose is much more dynamic, of course, because she's one of the main people you get to know.
Yeah.
And I guess
also it's Castia, not Kaladar.
Kaladar. Where do I know Kaladar?
Kaladar is something in the book.
Oh, is that the is that where Matric is the king of? See the or is he?
Maybe it's the ancient city.
Maybe
there's the one city that went into the sea. Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, there's so many like fantasy names floating around my head, and there's a lot of sea ones. So
there are.
For all you writers out there, let's move away from sea city names. I guess we're kind of boarding around it, so let's move on into the plot. I thought it was a 5 out of 10 for me. I thought it was it felt very much as it was advertised as a D&D campaign. It felt like there was almost times where it was just like, oh, you know, we got a little side tangent here and all that. And again, just wasn't my taste, but I thought, you know, for the most part, it was kind of cookie cutter, but it did what it had to do.
Bro, I got a 6.5 for plot. I think it was just like, pretty much exactly the same thing you said, Rob. I mean, playing D&D for so long, I knew exactly what was going to happen. I knew that Clay was going to have a hard time and then come back up. You know, like, it was pretty much written the way that I think anybody could understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did like, I didn't expect them to go into the arena and fight in that way. And I thought that was, the arena was pretty cool. I think overall, the book got worse for me as the book went on. The beginning of the book, I think, was way better for me. And I think it's because it was introducing all the characters. And they did a really good job doing that part.
What did you think of the plot, Rachel?
I give it a 7. Okay. Kind of like what you were saying, Rob, about like it being more episodic and stuff. I feel like that kind of threw it sometimes. But it also kind of dragged, weirdly enough. You would think with it being broken up a little bit more that it wouldn't. But I don't know. I feel like the plot was well thought out, and I liked the resolution. I didn't fully expect it, but yeah, I gave it a 7. It was a decent plot, but I feel like there were some things that could have been different.
Yeah, and not every plot needs, you know, be some crazy twist and all that. So I will say that, like, it's fine to have an episodic thing, but yeah, I'd say, Lou, did you have some pacing issues? I know Rachel and I kind of talked a little bit and thought there's some stretches where it felt like it was moving a little slow.
Yeah. Well, like in the woods, is that where you guys were getting
the Heartwild?
The Heartwild, yeah. The Heartwild for me was
a drag.
I feel like the whole part of the Heartwild is the pot. It's just like for them to die. Yeah, there was like I gotta get these characters high somehow. I don't know how to do it.
Where should I do that?
Mm-hmm.
But remember, it's magic weed.
Yep. It's magic weed. Yes, made your body feel better.
I did like the voice of the troll. The troll. shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I just like I don't know when to talk about this, but the one thing I did want to talk about is how much I love Moog and how his purpose and why he was doing the things he was doing, and his driving force was his late husband, and how like he found the cure in such a weird way. I was just like, oh, this is not how I expected this to happen. I guess there was some plot twist, but not plot twist in ways that I did enjoy. I can't remember exactly how they got it off the big woman, the big chief woman.
I put that in kind of the pros or vibe thing, but we can kind of like how it made you feel is kind of what that section's for. But yeah, okay. I really like that scene. So if I remember correctly, I finished it up probably like 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it's pretty fresh, but still not there. They smoked the mud weed in the shaman's house, and then they got abducted by the cannibals, and that's when they saw that the giant leader was getting healed from it because of the mud weed. So that was that was the order it happened. So it's like they already had the cure, and that's one thing I really liked. That was another one of the scenes I thought was very helpful. He's like bawling his eyes out because like, man, I should have just gotten my husband high. Like, it was that easy. Like, this cure that we've been, you know, people have been dying, but all they needed to do was like this simple, holistic, smoke some dank weed. And that was like, I felt that like, man, that like, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes, and that would really suck. It's like, man, I tried all these magical things, all the all you had to do was this natural cure. But yeah, so that felt one thing that I didn't really like about the plot is that it felt like there wasn't very many consequences for the party, which a D&D thing, but like they brought down a whole stadium of thousands of people crashing into the city, basically. Like there should be like death and everything and all that, but they kind of just move past it, and you know, Clay loses a hand. Two chapters later, it comes back, and it just felt like there wasn't a lot of consequences with the book. That it's something I appreciate in a book, but again, basically my whole thing is it just wasn't written for me. But so I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record, but that's one thing that I kind of brought the plot down for me.
No, I totally agree with that. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I always, like you bringing up the stadium scene, I was thinking, wow, there's no, they don't bring it up again, really, like they casually mention it, but it feels very, why would you move past such a horrible tragedy?
Mm-hmm.
Something's got to change. I don't know.
None of the characters really showed remorse for it either.
No.
I don't know. With kind of back to characters, also like, what was her name? The, like, she wasn't...
Larkspur?
Yeah, Larkspur. Like, I felt like that was kind of weird. And one thing, also tying with characters, I thought the whole ending with Ganelon kind of came out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, you know, him and Larkspur are going to go off and, like, be mercs together and all that, like, you know, because he's this, like, warring, you know, aggressive person. Like, man, this is kind of a match made in heaven. They're going to just go and, like, hunt baddies together. But then just, I felt like it came out of left field. It was like, oh, nope, he just didn't like it. So he went and turned into stone again.
Well, he turned into stone so that he could wait for the bad guy to come back to defeat him.
Mm-hmm. But I think...
Right?
Yeah, but the way I remember is like, oh, he didn't like what he saw for this world, so he went back to the quarry. Saw it. And yeah. I felt like that wasn't really well set up too much.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys happy with all the other endings? Like where the characters ended up?
I'm trying to think of one of my favorite books of the my favorite parts about the book is when Clay came back to his wife. I thought that was for me. I thought it was well written and then gave me some like vibes, some feels.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how it ended for the rest of the characters though. So
yeah,
Matric went on to be a king again, but of Castia, of a new republic, and all of his kids went to go live with him, which I liked. I liked that.
Yeah.
Moog made the cure for the rot and just sold, didn't even sell it. He just gave it away for free.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Gabe went back. I think he was living with...
He's in book 2, I believe. In the same town,
right?
Isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. He's with Bloody Rose. Then talked about Ganelon.
Yep.
And did Lady Jane make it into the second book?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a very, very good scene with her in one of the first chapters. If you do listen to it, it's very good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was totally expecting, I put this in a Discord, I'm like, after the second time they are robbed, I'm like, it just feels like the book's going to end and there's going to be like 2 chapters left. They're going to be walking home and they're going to get robbed by Lady Jane again. That was my prediction. I'm like,
yeah. That would have been apropos. Mm-hmm.
Well, Lou, what did you really like about the world building in the book?
So I'm a big sucker for magic and magic weapons, and I think for me that's like my favorite things about D&D is just is that realm.
Are you taking notes over here? Just so I know what you like.
Moog's like place that he was living in before the adventure happened, I thought was just so fun for me. I don't know. I think it's like my love for that started in like Willy Wonka. You know, the idea of this zany and this world, and Moog having these like spiders at the end of the I don't know. It's just everything about it was fun. And then I really enjoyed the idea of the fact that this band has already done everything they needed to do, and they're already like super loved by the world, or known at least. And so all their interactions in the world, they already knew like what was up. I guess in a sense, anybody that was trying to fight them knew that they were struggling. Other than Lady Jane, she had no care in the world She was just like, I'm just going to rob these guys.
Okay, she showed respect, though.
Yeah, she did show respect, which I thought was pretty cool. That's Clay Cooper.
That's Blackheart herself right there.
Lou, was Lady Jane an inspiration for one of your one-shot characters?
You kind of
played a more southern...
No, it was Theo Von was okay. But it did fit. Yeah. But I think both are cut from the same cloth.
Mm-hmm. So what would you would give it a 7, 8 out of 10 for...
7, yeah. Yeah, seven. Sorry, I forgot the number part.
No, you're good.
Yeah, 7.
How about you, Rachel?
I think I'm kind of on the lower end with the 6.5. Not because, like, what Lou was talking about. Like, the way things were described and all of the fun additions of, like, new ideas, new items, new things. It was really fun. But I feel like, you know, most of the cities and stuff, it's hard. Like, if you're trying to go from a D&D perspective, it was all very... This is a basic city. This is what it's about. It was well built and well explained, which I liked. Because sometimes you go into a book and they don't really explain the theme of the city or, you know, you don't have a good context for it. But I feel like it was very basic a lot of times, which is fine. But just wasn't anything that stood out to me.
Yeah, I agree. It was kind of a 6 out of 10 for me. There are times where I felt like it seemed like he just kind of went to the monster manual. It's like, all right, what monster can I put here? There's nothing wrong with that, but it was like, oh, yep, there's a classic D&D thing. There's a D&D thing, but yeah, did feel kind of like that. Trying to think. I really liked the world building with the, oh gosh, what's the fantasy race that Last Leaf is? What is he? The rabbit people.
Oh my gosh, you would ask and now I can't remember. The Druids,
yeah. I think that was probably, to me, one of the most interesting parts was, you know, their whole thing and then, like, how they can only have one kid even though they're basically immortal beings. And then, you know, Lasley's father was this plot, but, like, then, like, started basically re-sacrificing his wife over and over again to get more heirs. And it was, like, Lasley actually stopped that, which I thought was one of the cooler, I guess, twist. I mean, he was still a bad guy, but, you know, still a cool twist where it wasn't just the completely mustache twirling, like, oh, you just said her name. the flying...
Larkspur,
my goodness. She seemed like more of, you know, just your evil mustache twirling thing, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think he did that part of the world building really well, and I like cool swords, like Lou. You know, I did like those descriptions, everything like that. You guys want to move to pro/vibes? Or is there anything else you want to touch on in the world? All right. What was your overall, like, emotional reaction to the book? You know, how did you think the book was written? Kind of the general vibe of it in general.
For me, I put... You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. For me, I put an 8 for the vibes. I've been trying to dive deep into... I've been trying to go deeper into some of the classics when it comes to fantasy books. And it seems like the biggest issue that I have is I really get lost in the world almost completely. I've tried Dune. I've tried Lord of the Rings. I've tried... what's the other one that everybody loves from Brandon Sanderson?
Stormlight?
I've tried Stormlight. And I get lost immediately. And I never know what's going on. And I don't know if it's like... I'm not sure why. I might need just to read the books. But for me, I knew exactly what was going on. And I knew... And I just, like... It just, like, felt right to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed. I laughed quite a bit. My favorite part was the Cuckold King. For me, that I think that was... It was just so out of left field for me that I just didn't expect it. And just that whole situation with him and his ex-wife, I thought was... just money for me. So.
Mm-hmm. It really reminded me of like a Robert Baratheon type arrangement for all you
yes.
Game of Thrones fans out there.
Oh my god, yes, for sure.
How about you, Rachel? What do you think of the pros and vibes?
I also gave it an 8. I felt like Lou, I laughed a ton. This book was just full of funny moments and just the fact they were able to rib each other so well and like goof off. I really, there was a particular part at the end when they were talking about the statue that they had found, and it was like of a human merc who had become like had risen to fame in the Old Dominion, and that he had died by falling through like a porta potty or whatever, and swearing, had a swearing on the podcast. I can't remember.
PG-13.
PG, okay. So he said something like, "Oh man, that'd be a really crappy way to die." And I like, and he was like, "Oh, yeah, well, that's, yeah, a crappy way to die." And I just, I don't know, that part, like, it was so obvious, but it just cracked me up. I felt like he just had some really fun, I don't know, little bits, and like the characters were really believable when they were goofing off with each other. It was fun.
For me, I definitely think I'm in the minority. I gave it a 6 out of 10, so for me it was average. I like the humor, but I kind of got tired of it after a while, which, you know, again, this seems like it's my type of humor, but I feel like I would have much more enjoyed it in, like, a movie or, you know, a TV show. I think it would really flourish as one of those. Then it's not like I was, what, like 16 hours? So I just feel like...
Yeah.
16 hours of that type of humor for me was like too much, but if you put that into little bite-sized things, I think it would really flourish and be hilarious. But and then one thing I found out, which I didn't know for the pros, I thought it was weird that, like, because he did a third person limited, so that is, you know, you can see into the character's mind, but for the most part it's this narrator narrating other things, and it kind of jarred me that, like, even the narrator, who's like usually this omnipotent type thing, like viewer, was like swearing, and I don't know, for some reason I'm just like, I wasn't really a fan of that one, but that is 100% just a personal preference. I'm like, I'm okay with characters swearing and cursing and all that, but it just seemed weird that the I don't know, the narrator was, you know, also cursing up a storm. Maybe it's just clutching my pearls too much, you know.
See, I don't know, I guess I didn't notice that as much, but I don't pay attention to first person, second person, third person, so on and so forth. Like, I wasn't really noticing, and I don't know if it's because the narration was dynamic enough that it didn't, like, I don't know, it just wasn't something I noticed.
And, like, one thing for the humor, it's like, oh, it was big. It was really effing big. I'm like, you know, first time it was funny, but, you know, it was like that type of thing. And maybe it could be that we all listen to this, right? It could be that was a lot in Clay's thoughts, and just that didn't come across as the narrator, because, you know, it's hard to get those italicized words, you know, separate from your just narrated words, as you know, especially if it's the same person, it's the same voice for the most part. So that could also be it. So maybe it wasn't the narrator, but that just kind of threw me for a loop. But speaking of the narrator, what did you guys think of Jeff Harding's performance?
I liked it. I feel like weird liking it, because I think it's been, I know our other podcaster, oh, we're joking that nothing has changed.
What? Are we?
What?
What?
I enjoyed it. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was a good time. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I think some people get a little monotone for me, and a lot of times when I'm listening to a book, I'm always doing something else. I don't know if you guys ever just sit down and listen to a book.
Not
okay, that's
for
cool.
Me.
I do.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you knit, or I'm sorry. Do you do something with your hands or anything?
Usually I will try to crochet or do house chores. Those are my two things.
I felt so weird because I don't really know you, and I just assume based off your voice that you did knit.
You are totally fine. I am learning how to knit, so
that's awesome.
Lou, do you knit or crochet? I can never remember which one.
I crochet. All
right. Hey.
Crochet gang. What size needle do you use?
My favorite is usually a 5. What's
me
yours?
Me too.
No.
Whoa, guys.
Me too.
We just become best friends.
Maybe. I am lying, though. I have no idea what size my needle is. I just had a feeling that you did.
Hey,
we're getting off topic.
But yes, if you're part of the crochet crew, leave a comment down below. What size needle do you use? And why your needle size is the definitive size?
I use size 15.
Yeah, I like to do those, like, really big crochet projects, you know.
Where were we? Audiobooks, narrator.
Narrator, yes. I think it was cheesy, but all in the good ways. I think he was engaging. I think he was the opposite of monotone. Was it just tone? I don't know. I went to Detroit Public Schools. Yeah, that's it for me.
What did you give it out of 10?
Hey, I always forget about this number. Is this math class? What's going on? I'm feeling silly. I don't know. What's a 10? What's a 10 for you guys?
Ugh, I think Andy Serkis was a 10 for me.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who, what does he
say? That was Gollum for The Hobbit. I don't know if you made it that far past the... I mean, you read The Hobbit. What do you think now?
Did I read The Hobbit?
According to the pod, you did.
Oh, don't.
I didn't throw you under the bus.
No, I mean, you could, for sure. He's also in a Planet of the Apes movies. This guy does a lot of work.
Yeah, he's a really big voice actor.
Yeah, for sure. I'll say 9.
9?
Because Andy Serkis is apparently 10.
I mean, it's a, you know, subjective rating. This guy could be your 10 if you want to, you know, put him as the stand. Well, I guess that wouldn't be the standard, but, you know, what the strive for is Jeff Harding.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. But shout out to Andy for being married for so long, 2002.
Serkis?
Yeah.
Nice. Rachel, what did you think of Jeff's performance?
I put him as a 9. I mean, I feel like his voices were so... he could be having full conversations between Gabe and Ganelon and Clay. There were a couple times, like, Ganelon's accent, like, if it wasn't a very specific line, I would be like, is that Ganelon talking? But overall, I mean, everything was fantastic. My only one thing was sometimes his female voices weren't the best. However, benefit of the doubt, he's a man. I mean, you're not... I'm never going to be able to do a good male voice, so I can't hold that against him. He did good, you know, differentiating the two main female, like, leads, you know, Jane and Larkspur, who spoke the most. Rose was pretty good, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you give him as a rating? Oh, sorry.
No, you go.
9.
9? Oh, yeah, you did say that. My goodness.
Yeah.
I'm tripping.
I got you.
What are you going to say, Lou?
Would you rather have a male speaking in a female voice or a female speaking in a male voice?
Tough. That's really tough. Because I feel
what's the scene?
Yes.
I think if it's just like a general scene, I think a woman can usually do a better job at both. But I know, like, the Stormlight, there's some scenes where the woman's trying to do, like, this impassioned war speech, and it just kind of, you know, picturing this big burly man, and, you know, she's still trying to get low, just kind of falls flat for me. So I think it's contextual, and it switches depending on what it is.
I agree. And it depends on how the person is, the narrator is in the first place. You know, if I like their voice, it doesn't bug me that much. But like Rob said, context really does play into it.
Yeah, I think it brings me the most joy comically when a male tries to speak in a female voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I just go falsetto.
I think it's funny to me. I noticed that, like, a lot of great female voice actors, they all sound like an F-boy to me when they speak in boy, and I don't know if
yeah,
that's, like,
I can hear that.
I don't know if that's
they
just
do me. Sound a lot like Mike, you know?
Oh, wait, is Mike on the podcast right now?
He's not
right
even
now?
Here to defend himself.
It's okay. He knows we call him the F-boy of our camp back in the day. It's well documented.
It is. It is probably the most documented thing on our podcast.
Besides our names, yeah. Yeah.
We should do a wiki page.
Ooh, there we go. I'll give you 20 top topper points whoever gets a wiki page started.
Who do you think has the bigger feet? There we go.
You?
You don't have to tell people. Gosh.
Well, you asked. Who do you think? And I gave an answer. For me... I'll give him an 8 out of 10. I think it's so weird because, like, for fantasy, I'm so used to either just your I wouldn't, is it kind of like Midwestern or how we would say, like, lack of an accent or English? I feel like those are the two standard ones. So whenever there's a Southern accent, as in this one, or, like, I remember in Name the Wind, one of the random villagers who doesn't is like they're like has like maybe four or five lines, but the voice actor gives them like a Brooklyn accent or, you know, that New York accent. And those always take me to get used to. But I think once you kind of get used to it, and like I said, these, unlike that Brooklyn accent guy in a random farm village in whatever that world's called, like the Southern draw actually fits in this world. And I agree with you. Like, I think he did a stellar job. And I think it was cool how you could tell between like Clay's slightly Southern draw, and then, you know, have Ganelon, who has like a very much a very heavy, like deep South Southern accent. Mm-hmm. I think he did a great time with that. And then, yeah, I think I liked a lot of his voices and all that. So I think he did a really good job. Mm-hmm. Any closing thoughts you have on Kings of the Wild?
Yeah, I think I felt kind of bad when I suggested this book to you guys. Not to you and Rob, to you and Mike, because like I know how much you guys love fantasy. And I feel like it was kind of a basic book. But I don't know. I recommended it to Mike because he was the only father on the podcast, and I was wondering if it felt any type of way. But he, quote-unquote, couldn't get it up for the narrator.
So. Yep.
So there's that. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy that you guys didn't hate the book. Yeah. So that's good.
And I this has been on my to-read list all the time, so I was happy that you recommended it. I was kind of, you know, wish it was more for me, but overall, I'm glad I listened to it. I don't plan on reading the second one, but I enjoyed it, you know. So I had a good time. It was a good book.
That's good.
I would agree. I think I would recommend the book to people because I think the characters and the fun of it is there. And I think that it's a long book, but it's kind of an easy read. It's something you can just put on and just enjoy. I don't know. I feel like it was definitely a fun one to go through. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to kind of keep going in the series, and hopefully the second one picks up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're not a fan of crass humor, though, this book's definitely not for you, though.
Yeah. No.
I know. Talking with Cantwell, he wasn't really a fan. He wasn't. Mostly, it was, I believe, the humor and all that, and he thought the plot dragged on. But so if you don't laugh at like 2000s era humor, I would say, if you don't think that's funny, then this book's probably not for you. But if you're a fan of D&D or Rock, especially if you like both of them, this book is probably right up your alley. So other than that, I think by the time this comes out, there will still be a few days left in voting for our next book club, which will span June and July. So right now I think the wager is winning, but it is pretty close, so maybe you're the vote that can make a difference here. Other than that, Rachel, thank you for joining us. Do you have anything you want to shout out? Any projects you're working on?
Anything you're doing? I'm actually currently working on a project for Eclipse. I am recording one of Mike's stories, so be looking for that. I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm. Should be good. Lou, do you have anything going on? I'd never ask you. Do you have anything you want to shout out?
Shout out to my sister, Brooklyn, graduating high school tomorrow.
Congrats. Good. Congrats.
Congrats for her. Shout out to Protein.
It's a good one.
To hit 100, trying to hit at least 150 to 200 grams of protein each day.
Dang.
So the protein farts are for real. They're real. Yeah. Shout out to Life Church for getting a building.
There we go.
That's good.
That. Not our life church, yeah. Rachel here.
No, I figured.
Wherever I move, there's a life church. Oklahoma, here, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's a life church.
It's a real name.
Yep. I didn't know how basic that name was. That's funny. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Rachel, you did a fantastic job.
Good job.
I'm so happy that it seems like you either studied or you're just wicked smart immediately.
Oh, you're kind.
She's
thank
wicked
you.
Smart.
You're wicked smart, Boston. Are we still recording? Or?
We are. So.
Oh, shoot. All right. End.
All right. Well, thank you all for...
Oh, yeah.
Do that part. I have to do the outro, Lou.
Yeah, do it.
Thank you all for listening to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, or give us a like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you thought of this book, or crocheting, or protein, whatever you got. Just leave something down below. You can just say hi, and one of us will say hi back, most likely. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, be sure to check the comments. I think Rachel and Cantwell and some other people are down there, you know, commenting it up, so be sure to check those out. Other than that, thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all next week. Peace.
Don't be the cuckold king.
Don't control your destiny. Cuckold king.